You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Ahoy, and welcome aboard Caleb's Canoe. We will be sojourning through the dangerous white water rapids of prophecy today. So put on your life vest of righteousness and hold tight to your steering paddle as we wade through the water of the Word of God. Well, ahoy crew members again. This is Glenn Swiston from Caleb's Canoe. And we have a special guest today, Bishop Green. Bishop Green is in the ministry at Good Samaritan. And that's the one, if you remember from my primos many times, as a group of people who are in a special program called Good Samaritan Ministries. And basically, we take people who are alcoholics and drug users, et cetera, and we bring them into a program, and we give them what I call a hand up. In other words, we teach them to work. They're out there working in various ministries. They do lawn cutting, and they do tree removal. They have moving. They have automotive repair. Women come to clean your house, moving, et cetera. So you can take a look at that. And I've mentioned this before, but anyway, Bishop Green is really a wonderful person. The men love him, and he's now in charge of the men's division at Good Samaritan Ministries. And he came to me and said he has a word from God, and he wants to bring it on the radio. So here he is, Bishop Green.
Good afternoon. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here, to be saved, to be set free from the guilty stain of sin. And I also just love this. Thank you, Glenn, for inviting me, for allowing me to have this opportunity to bring a message. And I hope today that as we talk about the two ways, there's only two ways that you can live in this life. I taught the men this morning that we sometimes get complacent in our walk with God. And when we get complacent in our walk with God, we have to try ourselves and tell ourselves, self, huh? Are we doing the right thing, or are we doing this our way, or are we doing this God's way? So I have a message today. I'll be coming out of James chapter 1, verse 15. James chapter 1, verse 15. I actually will start James chapter 1, verse 14. Because it connects the sentences together. But my main text will be James chapter 1, verse 15. And here begins the reading of God's word. And it says, I'm starting in 14. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Verse 15. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. I'm going to go ahead and read verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. I'm in verse 17 now because I just feel it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Eternal Father, Heavenly God, I thank you for this day, for this opportunity, Lord God, to bring forth your word. Now let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. For as the spirit did quicken, if the flesh profit of nothing, and the words that I speak unto your people, they are spirit and they are life. In Jesus' name, amen. So today, I want to discuss and talk about the two ways. There's only two ways to live. There's our way and there's Yahweh. There's our way or there's God's way. There's only two ways that we can do this life. And oftentimes we get caught up in our way and we think that it is God's way, or it is somewhere where we have to sit back and say, okay, well, I don't have to live this way. I'm stuck in between. I'm in a gray area. But unfortunately, there is no gray area with God. Either you're in the team or you're out of the team. Either you're with the you're with us or you're not. And now when I mean with us, I mean the Church of Christ, which is married to his in which God is married to his church. And we are all a part of that particular piece that allows us to elevate ourselves into unity with him. God says, if you abide with me, I'll abide with you. And in that piece, he also says, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. But I ask myself time to time, Dwight, are you doing the will of your Father in heaven, or are you doing it for yourself? Sometimes we always we think we have a new innovative way of doing things. Sometimes we want to believe that those things are evolving within us, but we know that there is a God that is taking care of that. Look at the scripture right here. The scripture I said in chapter 1, verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. So you see right there that you didn't just come up with this life by yourself. Help me, Jesus. You didn't just come into this thing and said, okay, I have a new idea. My God's compassion fails not. His is new every morning. Yet I can't say to myself that Dwight has done this by himself. So I must understand that in my carnal thinking that I must always revert back to the good thing. Yeah, so we have to look at, let's look into the good things. There's only two ways to live. There's only one good God. There's only one good way. And Jesus even tells us in John 14 and 6, he says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. He says it like this. He says, Jesus told him, John says, Jesus told him in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come through the Father except through me. So no one can come through a trial, but through God. There's only one way. You can be set up for indictment. You can be set up in a place where you seem to be stuck in, and you're awaiting trial. People in our program, some of them have trials and tests that they have to go through. They have to meet with the probation officers. They have to go to the doctor to go get them some medicine, and they have other things that they have to do to get through the trials and tests of their life. They have to come to service every night and rededicate themselves to the cause of the one God, the one way. But we all have a trial and a test that we must go through. And God is saying, you know, the only way that you're going to get through this trial, I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care what the judge said. If I have brought you to a place where I can save you, where I can deliver you and I can set you free, I will be your advocate. He says this in 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, that he would be the advocate. But before then, he says to me, look, in 1 John 1 and 9, he says, look, you need to tell me the truth. You have to tell me the truth. And oftentimes we don't want to, before we go to trial, you know, some of the slicksters of this world are being led by the breath and tongue of the devil. And so they don't want to tell the truth. You know, I was a chaplain of a level 6 prison right down the road here. And I used to tell the guys when they come into my office, listen, I got one rule. I need you to tell me the truth, because I can't help you in your trials and the trials of life if you don't tell me the truth. Well, oftentimes we lie to ourselves, right? We say, okay, well, I'm only going to give you what I want you to know. Well, if you're doing that, then you're serving yourself. And see, now that's a different way. That's not the way that you want to go. You want to be able to tell the truth. 1 John 1 and 9 says that not only does he hear you, I'm paraphrasing, but he says also that he will, if you tell him the truth, he'll be just and able to forgive you and cleanse you of your unrighteousness. Then he comes right back a little bit later and he says, hey, I'm going to advocate for you to my father. So here's how the trial goes. God is the judge and the jury, and he's sitting there and he's waiting. You're waiting trial. Well, the advocate has already talked to his father. Help me, Jesus. He's already told him everything that you already did. He already knew that this day was coming. He just wants you to be truthful to him. So when he says that I'm the way, he says, come on over here. Come this way. Don't go that way. Come this way. Let me tell you what I've already told my father. I knew that Dwight wasn't a good person. I knew Dwight had some things that he had to do in his life. I know some things that he had to get right in his life. But he came to me, and guess what? I have just enough blood left that I can give to my father so we can take care of this matter. So while you're in the trials of life, understand that you must tell him the truth. I just told you, Jesus just told you that he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. You can't come through the Father without what else? Without. I'm glad you asked. How about this part? Faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Look, by the frames of God, you cannot, Hebrews 11 and 6 says, you can't even come to the Father and please him without your faith. So the only way to get everything off of you is by believing. You have to believe in, and there's a test that goes on with this, right? Like throughout your life, you sit back and you look at some of the things that you did not have to go through. I know I do. Somebody out there may. The things that you had to go through that you may not have had to go through if you just had enough faith to believe. I've been through some awful things in my life. I was a police officer in Atlanta, Georgia, and I in the middle of my situation, I was doing my police job. I was serving my community. I was a really impactful police officer in that I really cared about the community I was serving in Atlanta, Georgia. And the trial of my life came. I mean, I was in the military. I served my country, and I'm a retired Army and Air Force. I did both. I couldn't get enough of the military, so I went ahead and did that and did all these things all over the world. And I came home, and on about 15 years ago, and in the middle of the night on my way to doing my first duty of the night, I saw a stranded motorist on the highway. Well, in the middle of the highway on the fast lane in Atlanta, Georgia, on a Saturday night, it can get kind of scary if you stop in the middle of the fast lane. So I saw that they were stuck. Well, I get out my police car. I go over and I go and I talk to the man who has his hood up in the middle of the roadway. Now, me being a self-assured person, I had an arrogance about myself. Because I couldn't quite understand why this person would be doing this in the middle of the street, in the middle of the road, in the middle of the highway, in the middle of the night, on a Saturday night, in the fast lane in Atlanta, Georgia. But I stopped my police car in my arrogance, and I jumped out under my own strength. Amen. In my own strength. Been serving the Lord forever, but I got out of my own strength because I knew that this was just going to be a routine stop. I was just going to push bump the car over to the other side of the road, and I was just going to tell them about themselves and help them get along their way. That's what was going to happen that night, because that's what I did. I went to all these countries, and I've been to combat, both foreign and domestic. I've done all of that. So this is just another night on the street. I'm just going to continue to work under my own strength. Now, I haven't even talked about the other way yet, but I'm leading into it as I tell the story. So I'm looking at this. I'm like, okay, what are you doing out here, sir? And then I looked down and I saw his wife was in the car, she pregnant wife in the car in the passenger seat. I'm like, sir, what are you doing out here? He says, oh, okay, officer, I'm sorry, but my car stalled. I don't know why I'm out here. Again, me and my habitual self, me and my knowing the right thing to do, me and my indignant self, me and my double-minded self, I decided to look down on him and look down on his situation. I couldn't understand, because I would not have done anything like this. See, you hear me with my eyes. We get caught up so much in our eyes that we don't see a moment for God to come in and do what he's supposed to do. So now I'm kind of patronizing the guy, and I'm running out of time because I know we got to get to the other side of the road. So I told him to cut the semantics, drop the hood of the car, get in your car so I can push bump you over to the side of the road. Well, I'm trying to go, while I'm heading back to my car, I cling on to the car or to my radio, and I call to the operator and tell them that everything is okay. See, this is where this the way and God's way and my way seem to part ways. Because oftentimes in our life, we assume just because we're doing everything that we've always done, that it's going to be okay. We expect our desires and our temptations and our lustful sin and our habitual sin, and even at some point, the death of our insides, we think that we're still, as long as we do everything the way we've always done it, that everything is okay. See, I thought that way, and I had been in church all my life, and I had been doing all of these great things for God. You hear me? I'm still saying I, and this is not an I moment. This is a God moment. And so we get stuck in the gifts that God gave us. God gave me a gift to take care of these people, and I squandered it. God gave me an opportunity to be a light to these people, and I squandered it. Remember, I told you a little earlier that I had went through some things, that I was a good officer, that I protected the community. I was really proud of that. And there's nothing wrong with that, and that's all still true. But there came a time where I became so full of myself because I'm the blessing. And that's where we get into ourselves. When we become the blessing and God does not become the blessing, we seem to get stuck. And God is like, hey, I'm the way. I'm right here. I'm the good and perfect thing. I'm the one that's doing all of these things for you, and you're taking my credit. So here we go back to the story. I'm back on here, and I'm calling out to the radio, and I'm telling them I'm going to go pull these knuckleheads. This is what I'm saying in my mind, y'all. They're not knuckleheads. I'm just telling you, I'm going to pull these knuckleheads over to the side because I am the hero of the day. I'm going to save these people. Guys, we didn't save ourselves. We didn't deliver ourselves. We didn't do anything unless God allowed us to do it. So, I'm trying to separate. Now, I'm separating from God's way because I'm making this about my way. How many of you have done that? How many of you have done it in your life? You thought about your situations in your life where you raised your children. Well, I have 8 children, and I'm telling you, I know good and well, I didn't do that all on my own. I led a whole bunch of men to combat. I brought them all home, but I know I don't have the sense to say right now that I led them anywhere. If God hadn't been by my side, then we wouldn't have made it. But now I'm in this position. This night, September 29th, 2008, and I'm sitting on the roadway waiting for myself to pat myself on the back for what I'm about to do for somebody else. So as I'm walking back to the car, a drunk driver hits my police car as they recorded 71 miles an hour, hits me at 71 miles an hour. The car hits my police car. My police car hits me, all I can remember is pretty much waking up. I blacked out, and then I go and I'm underneath the vehicle that I was trying to help. So the onlooker said that I went about 10 feet up in the air, and I ended up under the car that I was trying to help. So now I'm sitting there. I see my right knee wrapped up about 3 times around. All my muscles and ligaments had stretched my leg and it had been twisted. The biggest bone in my body, the femur in my left leg, was snapped in half. My arms were twisted up underneath my body. Well, my left arm was, and all that was good was my right arm. And I could not breathe. I couldn't do anything. So now here I am in the crossroads of my life, thinking that my life at the time is going to be lost right here. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death." So here I am. After all the things that I said I did, after all the things in my life that my desires, my temptations, my lusts, my sins, my habitual sins, now here comes the time of my death. I'm sitting underneath a car that I came to help, that I came to be eyes so that I could pat myself on the back, and I find myself in a place where I have to do the Lord's Prayer. Now, let me tell you, the Lord's Prayer was cliche-ish to me because I grew up with it. You know the prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive those who debt against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." We all know that. We all know that prayer. Most of us know that prayer. We've heard it somewhere. But let me tell you how the prayer went that day for me. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come." Breath. Breath. "Thy will be done." Breath. And I stopped. And I heard the Lord that day. First time I had ever heard him in my life. He may have talked to me through somebody else, but I heard the Lord that day. And he said, "Now do you see me?" And I blacked out. He said I went into a coma. I woke up in the hospital. I had a halo on my head. This big Superman guy. I was 285 pounds and I was full of muscle and I was... you couldn't stop me. You couldn't tell me that my life would have me in a halo inside a hospital room with all my police buddies looking around, looking at me, my wife and my 6-month-old son, who couldn't even walk yet. He was crawling and he was and sitting there wondering what's wrong with his super dad. All my children at home wondering if I would ever come home. Wondering when they would see their dad that they were used to coming home every day so they could help him take off his boot and me being super dad and me being super husband. But all of my superpowers had gone away that day. I was sitting in the hospital with 2 tractions, one on each leg and one on my left arm. And I had a halo that was connecting that kept my spine intact while I sat there did all everything that they need to do. So the doctor comes in the room and I'm just defeated at this time. How many of you out there have been just defeated and you don't want, you sit back and you wonder, man, why am I going through this? Who does this life for me like I've been doing it? Lord God, why don't you just take my life right now? Why didn't you take my life yesterday? I thought I had this all together, but somehow in there I forgot about you. I tried to do this all my way, and now I have no strength to do any other thing but what you have in mind. Lord, what do you have for me? Some of you out there might be going through your day-to-day. You think you're going to make that left turn or that right turn, and you going home. You may have went to the grocery store. I tell the guys all the time, you think just coming in here into the program is just going to, you know, you're just going to go home that night. You're going to go to that bed that we provided you and all these other things. But we didn't provide you these things because these are good and perfect things. These are good gifts and they came from God. So what makes you think that they can't be taken away? And that's what happened to me. I felt like my life was being taken away from me. Everything at that moment. had hit me, and I remembered that I did not even get to complete my prayer. So I'm a little bit perturbed with God right now because I'm not understanding why all my strength can't get me to where I need to go anymore. I'm stuck. I'm lost. I'm like, Lord, help me, please. What am I doing? And then the doctor comes in the room. The doctor comes in the room and my police buddies are in there. But me, I'm sitting in here. I'm looking around. I'm like, Lord, what are you doing? Why is my wife looking like this? Why are these my police buddies looking this way? And so I say, hey, what you got, doc? He says, I got some bad news and some good news. He says, what do you have? I said, what you got, doc? He says, I got two things. And he says, what are those? I asked, what are those things? And then he says, okay, well, here's the deal. The first thing I want to tell you is that you'll never walk again. He says, there are some things that are done. We put a titanium in your legs. We're holding it tight, but you'll never walk again. And so I thought about my God, and now I need my God's strength to get me through this. He says the second thing he tells me is that because of the condition of the damage of my liver, that I'll only have 5 years to live because there's no way that my liver can hold me to accountable for the rest of my days more than that. And then the third thing he does, I said, well, okay, you telling me I got 5 years to live, about 5 years or whatever. You said this in front of my family, and you're telling me that I can't walk again. Well, what's the third thing? He says, the third thing is the best news we got of the day, and he pushes in a wheelchair, and he tells me that we'll do our best to make you comfortable for the rest of your life. What is God saying to you today? Can you accept that news? I couldn't have made it without him. I couldn't have made it. There's no way that I can make it without him. And through his strength, he allowed me to walk again. And now here it is 15 years later, and I'm still walking, and I'm still living. So that is the test. Which way will you have it? Will it be your way or will it be God's way?
Well, thank you, Bishop Green. I'm sure you all enjoyed that. I'm certainly going to invite him again in the future because I don't know if you realize it, but wow, I was in awe by what his message brought. So one of the things I want to do is would you like to continue on the next program?
Absolutely.
All right. Well, listen, what we'll do is this is going to be sort of like those Saturday night cliffhangers. Okay. You're going to be able to hear next week exactly the conclusion to Bishop Green's tremendous story, how he has put God first in his life and how he is now serving him with all his heart, soul, and mind. May God wish you, bless you, my beloved. As you canoe through the river of life, may all your rapids be little ones. If you capsize, God can right you again. If you're drowning, God can throw you a line and a life raft. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. If you have questions or concerns or like to know more, you can contact me, LUVH2O, the O is a letter, 62, at comcast.net.
the greatest love that anyone could ever know, that overcame the cross and grave to find my soul. Until I see you face to face, and grace amazing.